Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome on in, everybody. It is Fighters Fury here on 790 The Ticket. Tobin here with you as the next hour we'll dive all over the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. Also get some bare knuckle fighting in as well, as I was at the BKFC 14 show at the Intercontinental in Miami. So I'll tell you about my experiences there. But I want to start off with last night's boxing card on ESPN. You had Terrence Crawford defending his WBO welterweight title against Kell Brook. Great, sensational fourth round knockout from Terrence Crawford. Caught Kell Brook coming in, hit him with a nasty jab that really just rattled his brain, sent him to the back of the ropes. Followed it up a little bit more before Tony Weeks could get to him to call it a knockdown for the ropes, holding up Kell Brook. And you know, once he made the standing eight count, it didn't last much longer after that. You know, Kell Brook looked pretty decent in the early goings of that fight. Terrence started off the fight right-handed. He went from the conventional style before switching up to southpaw and really doing the damage like he did. But Kell looked in great shape. He was doing some things with his lead hand, with his jab, a couple 1-2s up top. We're doing well. And then the other thing was he was pretty accurate with the shots that he was picking. Nothing that was earth-shattering, and I would say he was doing more of frustrating Terrence really than inflicting any kind of damage. It wasn't like he was imposing his will as the naturally bigger guy in this fight. So I wasn't, hitting the panic mode, even if people, were really impressed with how ahead Kell Brook may have been early goings. I thought Terrence Crawford was in a good spot for that. And he was, he's a guy where he felt like he was going to be able to pick his spots. And I do think that after watching the way that Kell Brook was stopped, you could probably question on how in shape that head is still with the two broken orbital bones, just taking a shot like that. He didn't take it well. And so Terrence Crawford retains his title. He remains undefeated. He is going to, I imagine, stay atop many people's pound-for-pound rankings. Debate it how you want to. Look, I've been on the Terrence Crawford bandwagon for a long time. For my mind, he has been the best welterweight on the planet to me. And so I didn't need to see anything tonight that really would solidify that for me. I suppose he could have had a performance that would have had to make me question where he was if it was a bad performance because of the layoff, because of the age, any of that type of stuff. But I think tonight he did a good job in solidifying wherever he was in anybody's mind. Did he do anything to convince anybody? If anybody thinks, if you're an Errol Spence guy, if you think Errol Spence is the better welterweight, did he do anything tonight that would have convinced you otherwise? Probably not. You're probably going to call Kell Brook washed, damaged goods, all that type of stuff. And that's why, we need to see these two guys fight each other. I was disappointed in the aftermath of the fight that you had Bob Arum there. I was expecting some kind of big announcement, which I suppose we semi got from them because they really swerve from Errol Spence pretty quickly. They put all talks of Errol Spence away, and Terrence Crawford made it known that he wants to fight Manny Pacquiao. That is the opponent that he's looking for. He wants the big payday. I get that. I'm a little surprised that Manny Pacquiao is going to be on board with fighting Terrence Crawford. They said that they were close to getting it done. I guess in Qatar, the reports were that they were close to doing it before the shutdown happened, and so maybe they're going to revisit that. Look, it's a fun fight. Don't get me wrong. First of all, Manny Pacquiao is one of my favorite fighters of all time, so I am, of course, going to be into a fight where Terrence Crawford and Manny Pacquiao, two welterweight kings from essentially different eras, are going to square off, and we're going to be able to find out who the man is, who is the guy out of these two. Manny does have a WBA title from his win over Keith Thurman, so I don't think it's unwarranted that Manny Pacquiao gets a crack at Terrence Crawford. I don't think that he is undeserving of fighting Terrence Crawford. I think with his win over Keith Thurman, he certainly is worthy of getting that shot or worthy of getting to fight for a title, even at his age. The question is, though, you know, when are we going to get out of this era of Manny Pacquiao / Floyd Mayweather? You know, we're starting to put the Mayweather stuff behind us. And I really felt with Manny like that Keith Thurman fight was just such the cherry on top of his career. Like, he could have just gone out like that. It's not to say that he can't beat Terrence Crawford. It's just like, well, what else do you have to do? And that's why I didn't have any issue with Manny searching out a Conor McGregor fight or anything in that regard, a super fight, because he's done it all. He's fought them all. He's been there. He's done that. He's fought trilogies, rivalries, super fights, all that type of stuff. Guys who are way bigger than him. He's taken on every obstacle there is to take on. And so for this last one, for this next one to beat Terrence Crawford, or, you know, even if you want to put Errol Spence in that camp too, because he certainly hasn't been shy about trying to get Manny Pacquiao. They've both, in recent wins, have called out Manny Pacquiao rather than each other. And I just think of this, like, for Terrence, he is a prize fighter, and ultimately the guy wants to make a ton of money. I get it. So he's the reward here is money. Is it legacy? It feels like a no-win situation for him if he fights Manny Pacquiao. Now, I would say if you're Terrence Crawford's camp, your probably argument is, well, I mean, we're already in a no-win situation unless we fight Errol Spence. If they truly believe that fight can't happen, there really isn't an opponent out there, I think, that Terrence can take on right now that's not in, if it's not Errol Spence or anybody in the PBC ranking. I don't know if there's a guy where he could even get a ton of credit for fighting, even if, Keith Thurman would have jumped ship. You know, people think Keith Thurman's damaged goods. He just lost to Manny Pacquiao. So I don't know who that guy is that he could take on and people would be like, all right, Terrence Crawford solidified himself as a man. Like, we want to see them fight each other. You're going to have this fight come up in December between Errol Spence and Danny Garcia. And, you know, the question will come out of that of, like, who is the guy out of that? And the thing I'll give credit for with ESPN tonight is, you know, they didn't duck around it. You know, they didn't make it seem like it's Terrence and there is no Errol Spence, you know. And I can say on the other side with PBC, they've done the complete opposite. Like, they've ignored Terrence Crawford. You know, they've gone in the realm of saying, you know, Manny's the man, Sean Porter's the guy, Keith Thurman's the guy. You know, their whole little universe. And they just act like Terrence Crawford is the thing. At least ESPN is giving you the acknowledgement, okay, we know that that Terrence Crawford, that's our guy, and we regard him as number one, and Andre Ward is going to tell you why he's number one, but at least they acknowledge, hey, there's this other guy out there who could have a claim at the throne. You know, he's the unified champ right now, 147. he's got a big slice of the pie. We don't ignore it. So I appreciate that from them. That the thing that sucks about it though is it's you feel like your hopes of it were squashed immediately because Bob Arum's like, yeah, well, Errol Spence is gonna duck him and Terrence Crawford is better. And you know, I don't know. Like, if you really were to put it up to a poll right now, you know, if I were to ask people tonight, like, who would you rather, if I could make the fight happen, and if I could make it for the same money, you know, if I could make, you know, Errol Spence and Manny Pacquiao and Terrence Crawford, they all make the same amount of money, you know, and especially for the young guys. Like, if I could say, hey, you'll make, let's say, $15 million fighting Manny Pacquiao, or you'll make $15 million fighting Errol Spence. Samesies. You know, and I know that's not going to be the case, but let's just say it was. Who would you rather fight? And I would hope it would be the young guy. I would hope it would be the guy who everybody, who other people possibly regard as the best. I don't think Manny Pacquiao is regarded as the best. And look, I don't rule Manny Pacquiao out of a fight with Terrence Crawford or Errol Spence. He's the man. Like, Manny Pacquiao is an absolute monster. He's done more in two careers than those guys have in their one. But at some point, you got to wonder how much can you expect an old legend to beat young lions. You know, he got Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman was coming off some injuries. He's a guy who's had really bad hand issues. You know, we've had a couple interviews with Keith. You know, he's admitted to me, like, he's not one time anymore. You know, he's a guy who's figuring out how to try and reinvent his career. And he's trying to beat Manny Pacquiao while doing it. Like, it's not a great recipe for success. With Terrence, even though he's 33, he does not look like he's diminishing at all. He looks like he's probably got another 3-4 years of this prime left, but you don't want it to be on the tail end. And then with Errol, like, look, man, this guy just walked away from a crazy accident. And, you know, you're wondering, like, all right, well, what's going to really prove that he's the guy? Look, he's got some great things going for him. You know, I was at that Mikey Garcia fight that did really good business-wise. People were into it. He felt like a star. And he showed me a lot of stuff, too. I mean, like, you know, this is one of these things where I picked Mikey Garcia in that fight thinking that he was the better boxer, that he was just, he doesn't make any mistakes, he's flawless. I knew that he was the smaller guy, but I really took for granted Errol Spence's ability to outbox him. And Errol Spence boxed his socks off. Like, he was tremendous. I think he proved a lot of stuff to everybody that night. I think that even with that, even seeing that ringside, I still think Terrence Crawford has a few more bags in his tricks in his bag, excuse me, that I would pick Terrence Crawford in a matchup with those two. But what's disappointing to me is knowing that money is an important element to this and that they are prize fighters, and that's great. But eventually this welterweight division has to do what the heavyweight division is doing. It would be like right now, not quite to this degree, but pretty close. It would be like Tyson Fury going out there right now and calling out Mike Tyson after his Roy Jones fight. Like, oh, okay, well, what does that prove? Now, to Tyson Fury's credit, like, all right, he's even done some more proving. He's fought guys of his era and fought of the past era. You know, two of those guys have gotten to fight Vladimir Klitschko. But eventually this welterweight division has to move on. You know, the thing that is frustrating about it is this has been the glamour division, but they can't get out of the shadow of Floyd and Manny. They can't. And it took for years, the heavyweight division, it took years upon years of them to get out of the shadow of Lennox and Holyfield and Tyson. It took them years. I don't really consider the Vladimir Klitschko era a time where they were out of the shadow. That felt like the shadow got even bigger because people were bored by Klitschko's reign. So it's just extremely frustrating that these young cats who seemingly are the best in the world and really don't have great excuses not to fight each other, especially after we just saw PBC and ESPN cross blend over, there's really not a great reason for it. You know, and Terrence McCrawford may walk in this room and say, hey, shut up. This is the once in a lifetime opportunity to fight Manny Pacquiao. I'm like, okay, that's great. But just know that if you obliterate him, it's going to mean for your boxing legacy, it's not going to mean anything. I mean, you're going to be super rich, hopefully. But just know that like he's not going to get any credit for that win or Spence. If Spence were to fight Manny, you know, it's the weird spot where Manny's got the bigger name, but he's got nothing to lose in those fights. Nothing to lose. I mean, I suppose other than suffering a vicious knockout loss, but I mean, like legacy wise, he's locked tight. He's set. Because I don't think anybody thinks that Manny's going to win those fights. I don't rule him out completely, but let's be honest. Like people would think, oh, he's over the hill. He's taking on two guys who are in the absolute peak of their powers. And again, Terrence's answer to that might be, if I were to sit down and do an interview with him right now, and I've never got a chance to talk to Bud, but if I did, I'm sure his argument to me would be like, well, nobody gives me credit anyway, so what's the difference? But I just think that at certain points, a division, it becomes so obvious as to what you should do. It has to be done. And boxing messes around with this so much. And even heavyweight hasn't gotten it perfect. Because let's be honest, when before the Tyson Fury thing came along, we all wanted to see Deontay versus AJ, and it didn't happen. So I hope they don't mess this up. Because once this goes down with Errol and he fights Danny Garcia, they're talking about doing Terrence Crawford in the spring. You know, it doesn't seem like they're going to be very on very lined up schedules when right now they quite actually are. You know, they are pretty lined up. They're fighting a few weeks apart, and you could set something up for summer, and it seems like it would be perfect for them to match up with one another. You know, with all respect to Danny Garcia, thinking that Errol Spence is going to take care of DSG, you know. So great performance by Terrence tonight. You know, he beat Kell Brook way worse than Errol Spence did, but you know, beat him down the line after, you know, Kell has been put together again a couple times. That being said, look, in my mind, he was already the number one welterweight. Tonight just solidifies it. And my hope is that it ends up with him taking on Errol Spence. Seems like they're leaning towards they want that next fight to be against Manny Pacquiao, which is a little disappointing. I'm still going to watch. I'd be excited to watch Terrence Crawford versus Manny Pacquiao. Like I said, Manny's one of my favorite fighters of all time. I watch every fight that he's in. I buy every fight that he's on. Getting to go see him fight live was one of the sporting thrills of my life. But what's the point? Like, what are we doing here? You know, you are one of the best. You have a welterweight belt. You have a welterweight belt. Boom. Should be as easy as can be. But for some reason, it's not. We're back after this. Welcome back to Fighters Fury, everybody. It's Tobin here with you. Thanks for tuning in. Much appreciated. If you guys want to check this out, and we'll have these interviews coming up a little bit later. Went down to BKFC 14 in Miami. Great show. I'll tell you more about it, but we got an extended recap of it up on our website, theticketmiami.com. So if you're a fight fan and you are getting into the combat world of bare knuckle, it was a fun show. It was a great atmosphere. I'll get more into it in just a few minutes, but check that out, theticketmiami.com. You can text the show at 786-360-0790. Let's get to this. Before I get into UFC from last night, The co-main event on the Terrence Crawford versus Kell Brook was Joshua Franco. He was defending his championship, his WBA Bantamweight Championship, up against Andrew Maloney from Australia. And not something I would probably cover on the busy weekend that we have, but it was super controversial. What ended up happening was, so Joshua Franco, in the midst of the round, of round one, you could see his eyes starting to really swell shut. And by the end of the round, it's shut. Like, it's in a bad way. The doctor's checking it out. Doesn't look good. And they rule it by accidental headbutt. That is the call of the referee. And so the broadcast is, like, already puzzled because, like, I don't remember there being a headbutt. And look, a lot of the times when something like that happens, these guys have great producers, great people in the trucks who are immediately finding the footage. They are queuing it up. They are getting it ready. Remember, you only have a little bit of time between rounds to show what happened, to explain what happened, to give you that. It's a very high-pressure job, and these guys are very good at it, typically, in the truck. So when there's no footage of it coming immediately, you're already raising an eyebrow, like, was there a headbutt? So, you know, that becomes an interesting thing, because if you don't get to four rounds, you can't go to the scorecards. You have to stick with, it has to go no contest if it is a rule break. It goes to no decision. So Joshua Franco, they end up getting through two rounds, and the eyes really badly shut. Doctor ends up calling the fight, and this seems like they're going to go in the way of calling it a no decision, but we're already underway where it's like they've made it clear they have instant replay availability in Las Vegas. So they have Robert Byrd, who has been doing the damn thing for a long time, and Bob Bennett, the head of the Nevada State Athletic Commission, sitting there looking at television screens. They have a phone. He is calling up the ESPN truck. Hey, can you cue it up here? So they know that it happened in the first round. So ESPN just goes back and says, well, we got time to kill. We're going to have to be here for more than 3 minutes. Let's just watch the entire round. You watch the entire first round. No headbutts. What you do see is he gets hit in the eye. Looked like with the thumb of the glove, so it might have been in a very unfortunate spot. Not an illegal blow, just unfortunate that's not the cleanest of punches. And then Maloney was really peppering Franco with jab, 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 jab in his eye, and it eventually swelled shut. So this is taking forever. I mean, we're getting on 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25. We're getting to like a half hour. And they've done every angle, every which way. They are listening in on the truck, and the truck is telling them where they're watching, so they go watch it live. The only thing you can kind of see is a little bit of a, you know, kind of rubbing up of heads, but it's on the opposite side of where the swelling is. So we're all sitting here at home. Everybody's going crazy on Twitter. We all can tell there is no headbutt. This man got his eye messed up by a punch, and as unfortunate as it is, that should mean that Joshua Franco loses his title to Andrew Maloney. It's not a way you want to win a belt, for sure. Nobody wants to win on a couple of jabs that swell up the eye, I'm sure. But nonetheless, it should be a win and not a no contest or not a no decision. And so the ramifications are huge. So in that way, you do appreciate them making sure absolutely that the referee knows what he saw. But the problem with this is Bob Bennett gets, you know, he does some interviews afterwards, and he says, well, it has to be absolutely conclusive that there wasn't a headbutt and that it wasn't done by the jabs. And that pisses me off, because in that regard, what you're trying to do is you're trying to make your referee look good rather than get the decision right. And, well, look, first of all, this is boxing. There's people that you can name three referees. All right. Nobody knows who the referees are. You know, you Tony Weeks, Kenny Bayless, probably Robert Byrd. That's probably the current list. Maybe the next person that people come up with is Mills Lane. He hasn't been doing the damn thing for 25 years. So it's unfortunate. You know, Bob Bennett is sitting there, and it feels like they're sitting and looking at this footage, hoping to find something to justify the referee's call rather than get it correct. And that is what is infuriating as a boxing fan, is that we are never, ever just trying to get it right. As a commission in Las Vegas, they are trying to make themselves look good. This is a garbage thing. And for a commission that does the biggest fights all the time, for all the crap that Florida gets, you know, for, oh, they're corrupt, they don't know what they're doing in Florida. No, don't even make it Florida. Make it Texas. Make it wherever. For all the crap they get, this Las Vegas, they get it all the time with their mess-ups. They're always trying to cover their own ass and make sure that, you know, that their guys look good. And if there's a Fugazi scorecard, nothing ever happens to anybody. They just keep rolling. Teddy Atlas had a brilliant thing today. He had a brilliant tweet after this. He goes, tell me the last time somebody in boxing got fired. And then when could you? These have been the same characters. I, as a boxing fan, I am a young boxing fan, relatively. I'm 34 years old, okay? I've been watching boxing since I was, you know, let's say 10. And it's been the same people doing, there's been one guy to retire. It's been Mills Lane. That's it. Mills Lane and Burt Sugar, and he died. So it's the same characters, and that leads to these guys trying to protect their own rather than get the decision right. Maloney should have walked out of that arena that night with a belt around his waist, and Joshua Franco should have lost. There should be a trilogy. There should be another fight for sure. But it's unfortunate that they went and wasted all this time. And what they wasted that time was not to get it right. It was to make their guy look less wrong. And that's bullcrap. So Bob Arum was irate afterwards. Expressed a lot of that sentiment that they were trying to just make the ref look good. Bob Bennett said, oh, not conclusive. We do that in other sports. Meh. Bro, okay, you show me where the conclusiveness is. Show me. What you there could have been two headbutts. Two. You can't find one. Don't tell me. We all sat back here and watched it. The ESPN made us. So, very disappointing that we had that last night in the world of boxing. I couldn't call it surprising, but disappointing nonetheless that we have that happen. We also had UFC last night. Paul Felder, he was taking this fight against Rafael Dos Anjos on 5 days' notice. Absolute big balls from the Irish Dragon going in there and taking on the former lightweight champ, a return to lightweight for Rafael. And fun fight. You know, Paul Felder was certainly live, especially in the striking when they were standing up. He was certainly trying to make his mark. Looked good. You know, I thought that Rafael pretty much dominated, though, everywhere in this regard. I didn't even think that Paul was getting the better of him on the feet. I thought that Rafael looked very fast, was finding a home for that left hand anytime he wanted to. But the big difference in this was the grappling. Really was taking him down at will. And that really was the big difference in this, is that Paul was getting taken down on the reg and probably wasn't in that kind of a shape. You know, cardio and all that he's talking about was not in the shape that he needed to be for this kind of a fight, 5 rounds. But look, nothing but respect to Paul Felder. He was supposed to be broadcasting this card. He was not supposed to be fighting on this card. So for him to go out there and have that kind of a performance when he was not expected to be out there, you could do nothing but tip your hat to the great Paul Felder. Rafael Dos Anjos afterwards, you know, he's immediately going to, he thinks he deserves a title shot. This annoys me. First of all, Rafael Dos Anjos has not been a champion for a very long time. All right. The last time Rafael Dos Anjos had a belt around his waist, it was back in 2015. This is a half a decade ago. So his argument today was, I think that Conor and I should fight for the lightweight belt because we're real champions. We were never interim champions. And that's all well and good, man. But the problem is that you told us you couldn't make the weight class anymore, that you were dying. Like, you could not make this weight safely anymore. And therefore, you went up to welterweight. And you did a fine job at welterweight. Did okay. Ended up he was an okay welterweight who, what he did tonight to Paul Felder was, it's basically getting done to him every single welterweight fight. Colby did it. Kamaru Usman did it. Leon Edwards, they all kind of just outgrinded him in these fights. You know, he was never really getting his ass kicked, never got stopped at welterweight. So, you know, but just couldn't get to those places where he was finishing the job. But I still feel like he has a lot of stuff to prove at welterweight. Yes, he beat the number seven guy, but he beat the number seven guy in 5 days notice and didn't finish him. It's not like this was this, you know, remarkable performance from RDA. What I think it showed is, look, he looks like he definitely can hang with this size a little bit better, which is great. He looked healthy, great. But, you know, let's not act like he gets to jump the line because he beat someone in 5 days notice. That's silly. That to me is nonsense. So, you know, and it looks like we're getting Dustin and Connor. That looks like that got sealed up this week, which is great. Can't wait for that fight. I'm looking forward to it. You know, but these dumb narratives that come up with sometimes, like RDA's got some wacky ones, man. He really, really does sometimes. And to me, it kind of rings out. I would have liked him to, you know, I'm not surprised by it because I know he's had beef with Connor for a long time and that he's wanted to square away. Remember, they were supposed to fight for the lightweight title. He ended up getting the injury. That's what ended up with us getting the Nate Diaz rivalries. But, you know, from my standpoint, I would like him to see, you know, have him. This is what's great about having RDA back. You know, have him fight Tony, have him fight Michael Chandler, something like that. I don't, you know, go right to the front of the line and fight for a belt. Okay. He couldn't finish a guy on five, who took the fight on 5 days notice. Let's relax a little bit on that one from that standpoint. The other big one from this night was Chaos Williams. He had just a vicious knockout of Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, just 30 seconds into the right hand, right down the pipe. Boom, all she wrote. Vicious KO and a great performance. Sean Strickland had a nice win over Brendan Allen. He ended up winning by TKO, so that's a couple of wins for him in 2 weeks. And, you know, those were kind of the big headlines out of everything with this one and this card on that night. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to give you my recap of BKFC 14 from the Intercontinental Miami, tell you what went down, good things the promotion's doing, all that type of stuff. We're back after this. Welcome back, guys. Fighter's Fury rolls on here. We did get a piece of news regarding the Canelo Alvarez thing. We've been following this. And as a follow-up, it looks like Canelo Alvarez, looks like the Caleb Plant fight is dead, which I'm bummed about. I told you last week, I think that was a fun fight. I like Caleb Plant. He's an enjoyable fighter. Looks like Canelo's going to go back to DAZN. Callum Smith and Eddie Hearn, it looks like they're coming together for a deal. And my big takeaway, it's not that he's going to actually end up fighting Callum Smith. My big takeaway from it is, man, he must hate Oscar De La Hoya's guts. That was the big takeaway I came from that. Is that, okay, so he's going to go back to DAZN. He just doesn't want to work with Oscar anymore. He doesn't want Oscar making any of his damn money. So it was just funny seeing those headlines that Canelo Alvarez is going to come back. And I heard some guys who are a little bit more in the know in the network stuff than I said, you know, it was going to be hard for him to find somebody to give him the money that he wants on a one fight deal, only to renegotiate to get that guaranteed money. So it is interesting that he is going back to DAZN, but it's just funny that it's happening without Oscar De La Hoya. I find that a riot. I told you last week, I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up fighting. I guess that's not going to be the case now because he probably just doesn't want Oscar De La Hoya to make any money off of him. So that was one interesting piece of news that came out this week. The other thing I wanted to get to, so I went to the Intercontinental on Friday night, went to BKFC 14. Actually, I went to the press conferences this week. It was Luis Palomino. He was defending his belt against Jim Ehlers, the bare knuckle beast. And, you know, we've done some bare knuckle coverage on this show. This was my third show. I went to one in Fort Lauderdale. This was my second BKFC when I went last night, and I went to Dada 5000's BYB at the Hard Rock. This is three cards now. I'm like a bare knuckle vet. And, you know, my big question about it was, and I've asked this of the people promoting it. So they're obviously always going to give me the positive review, if you will. But my question's always been, like, who are you going... Like, one of the reasons I think mixed martial arts took over in some ways of boxing is that you had a sport that people could train for. There could be young phenoms in, and you were going to have this grand wave of talent that was going to take over. I just don't know if that's ever going to be the case with bare knuckle. But I do think there is something to the effect of there are guys where this could just be a home for them. You know, maybe that aren't the most skillful boxers in the world. Maybe that aren't good at everything, especially with the grappling and mixed martial arts. There is... The fights are getting better. I can say that. When I go, and I talked a little bit about this with the president, David Feldman, I'm like, do you feel like fights are getting better? Because one of the things I've noticed from the first one I went to this one, and even watching it somewhat on television, is it does feel like guys are getting the sport a little bit more. Now, look, ultimately, a lot of these things are going... There's a lot of fights that are going really, really fast. Really, really fast. But every now and then you do have ones that are going and last a little bit. The pace of the fights are really great. I think it's 5 2-minute rounds, so it's never going to last longer than 10 minutes. Although I'll tell you a little bit about the surprise we got. You know, but ultimately, like I'm becoming a believer in this as something that's going to last for a while. Cause I think that they provide a place where I think they're going to get some names. I think they can get some good talent. You know, maybe not the best right away, but I think guys who can find a home here, I think there are a lot of charismatic guys. I think that the promotions get a good way of knowing how to sell fights. They did this yesterday where they had, let me get the fighter's name, get her name right. It's Britt Hart, I think is what it is her full name, but I just want to make sure I get it correct. Britton Hart. She was a 125er, and she was fighting yesterday against Randy Nelcombe, and they had Paige VanZant. Paige VanZant was sitting literally four feet in front of me with her husband, now South Floridians, and I was sitting, you know, probably 6 feet behind them, and then another 6 feet is the broadcast booth. So she ended up going to call the fights. For Britton Hart's card, and Britton Hart looked really good. She actually made her opponent look like Frankenstein, and she was super charismatic. She went over to Paige VanZant, blew her a kiss, got in the mic, said, "I'm gonna F you up." And no. Her quote was, "You're effing next." It was her quote. Then they ended up getting Paige and into the ring, and you know, Paige, she's like, "That was only 50%. Actually, I thought Paige VanZant had a funny line, which she goes, "Well, that's probably not smart. You should always fight your fights at 100%. That goes back to the old Kamaru Usman. I was fighting at 35%. Dana White's like, "Well, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you fight at 100? But I had a really, really great time last night. I thought it was a fun card. My guy Yuli Diaz was on the card, who's a friend of the program, friend of the station, and he had the moment of the night. I think that was one of the cool things about it, too, is he knocked his opponent out in 3 seconds, which, believe it or not, I think is almost selling him short, because it felt like 1 second. Like, it was like bell rung, and the way that bare knuckle starts off, you know, I had a lot of people, when they watched, they're like, "Well, why don't they start It felt like he, why are they starting from the other sides of the cage? That's how they said they towed the line. That's how it, that is their gimmick. They tow the line. They start at the center of the ring and they fight. And people are like, well, that's silly. I'm like, well, no, it's silly in one fight where it's not even silly. It happened in one fight where one guy got knocked out in 3 seconds. It's not like every fight's going that direction. A lot of times guys do want to feel things out. It just happened that Yuli jumped on the guy like a dog on a pork chop. And he looked fantastic. Here's a little bit of my conversation with Yuli Diaz after the win. All right, we're at the Intercontinental Miami with the man of the night, Yuli the Monster Diaz, Miami's own. Congratulations. Fastest knockout in BKFC history. What does that mean to you, man?
Fastest knockout in combat sports history. I just found out, Brandon. It's amazing. I called my manager 1 week ago, and I told him I'm going to have the fastest knockout in BKFC history. It turns out to be I got the fastest knockout in combat history. It's a blessing. I manifested this. It came to fruition, man, and it's an amazing feeling.
When did the visions first come that this was going to happen?
As soon as they gave me my opponent, I started envisioning my fight. I started thinking about things I'm going to do, how I'm going to, you know, what's going to happen, how I'm going to move. You know, in BKFC, we start 3 feet apart. So you're never sure if the guy's going to start with action or the guy's going to bounce off you. So I start thinking about what I'm going to do. I was waking up out of my sleep throwing this combination, man.
Did you see anything in him, or was this all you? Like, did you just feel like you were going to manifest? It didn't matter what person was in front of you.
No, it didn't matter what person was in front of me. The monster train was coming with what it's coming with.
We always see an amazing atmosphere when you are here. I've seen plenty of your shows, boxing, MMA, bare knuckle. What did it mean to have something like this on this stage in Miami? That's got to feel incredible. It looked like adrenaline was flowing all over you. Like, what was it like?
Listen, man, listen, you couldn't make this up, brother. If you could write a story, you couldn't make it as good as it happened tonight. You know what I mean? It's an amazing feeling from where I come from where I've been to where I'm at right now, just standing here next to you, having this conversation. I've just listened to you on the radio for years, brother. To be here talking to you about this is an amazing feeling, brother.
This you are the perennial prize fighter. You've roved around. Is this a good home for you? Do you like the bare knuckle style? Is there something about it that is just you gravitate towards? Do you like the whole way it goes down in there?
I love fighting, period. But yes, I think BKFC is a home for me, just for the sense of you know, it takes it back to the roots. I used to get in trouble fighting like this on the streets, and now it's getting me paid, getting me notoriety. Got the fastest knockout in combat sports history. It's an amazing feeling. And it's like nothing else. I know I keep repeating the same thing because it's an amazing feeling, y'all.
I'm sure, man. I mean, listen, I know how hard you worked and what it must mean to do something like this. Yes, there's a lot of talk and a lot of buzz. I mean, a knockout like that for a promotion like this that's trying to build a name, a guy like you, that's who you put in on the stage to make that promotion bigger. What do you think should be next for you?
Well, I respectfully calling out Thiago Alves for the light heavyweight belt in BKFC. It's vacant right now. I'm a fan of his. I've been watching him come up since the UFC. I think he's a great fighter. He's fighting for BKFC now. I think me and him will be a great matchup for the next fight down here in Miami. I think we'll bring the crowd, we'll bring the noise, and I think it'll be a great fight. So, you know, again, respectfully calling out Thiago Alves for the light heavyweight belt. Let's make it happen, brother.
And what do you think happens in that fight?
Of course, my hand's gonna be raised. You know what I mean? If you can't be a fighter and say something else, you know what I mean? I see myself with my hand raised.
Is this the tops right now, Yuli? Is this the best moment of your career?
This has to be the best moment of my fighting career by far.
Well, thanks. Thanks for giving us time, man. I always appreciate you being good to our show or good to our station. Yuli the Monster Diaz doing Miami proud, right in his hometown. Fastest knockout in combat sports history: 3 seconds at BKFC 14. And I feel great for him. Look, I hope he gets that fight against Thiago Alves. I hope he does. Thiago just fought on their September 11th card. And this thing was big. I mean, the Yuli Diaz knockout made SportsCenter's Instagram. It blew up yesterday. Obviously, he's got a famous girlfriend who's in the WWE who has a tons of followers. So this caught on. Like, this was a legit viral knockout. It was a star-making knockout for him. As a guy, we talked about you, as you heard us talk about, like, I think that Yuli, who is up there in age a little bit, it's probably hard for him to legitimately make it in boxing, for anybody to give him a shot. It's probably hard for him to make it in mixed martial arts because of his age and all the stuff that there is to learn. And, you know, he had to do convincing to get on the regional scene to let them fight. But bare knuckle, he's amazing on the microphone. He's charismatic. He's got a really cool look to him. And he can knock mother bleepers out. Who cares what his age is? Everybody, you know, I think that it's the perfect place for him. And so I hope that he has a great home here. I hope he becomes their champion. And, you know, as this promotion is trying to carve out its spot in combat sports, I think he's a perfect guy for them. And that's why I think last night was so huge for him. Yeah, it was an awesome night. Also got to see Jake Boswick, his bare knuckle fighting debut. Now he's been trained on here. I've seen him on the gram a bunch of times fighting all over the gyms down here. He's a hard guy not to recognize because he just like Yuli has tattoos all over his head, jacked to the gills. And you know, but this is my first week getting a chance to interview him and talk to him. I'm boys with his trainer Derek Santos. Shout out to Derek Santos and Santos Boxing down here. And Derek was under the impression that this is going to be the perfect sport for a guy who's kind of looking for a combat sports home, that this is going to work. And he had a great fight with Tyler Vogel. They had the first sudden death fight in bare knuckle fighting history. And that was cool. I had no idea what was going on. There was this huge break. They're like, I assume tabulating the scorecards. Jake had gotten a knockdown. I hadn't even seen the scorecards. I don't know what it turned out. I mean, like, well, sudden death. I guess it was a draw. It didn't matter. But I assume what happened was he took the first two rounds but had a 10-8 in one of the rounds. And then Tyler was up on the scores in the other three. I'm assuming that's probably what happened. So we ended up with a draw. And so after a little bit of a break, they go, sudden death round. And Jake ended up coming out on top. You know, he ended up topping Vogel and getting the nod. So good for him. Here's our conversation with Jake Boswick. All right, here for the Intercontinental in Miami. BKFC 14 has just wrapped up. One of the stars of the show, Brutal Jake Boswick. Congratulations
on
the win.
Thank you.
Very hard fought battle. Did you know that was a rule that there could be sudden death? Because I think all the audience was very confused, waiting patiently. What was going through your mind with all that?
Honestly, I was already in the fight. I was good to continue fighting. When he obviously got to the fifth round, they said, listen, if it's a possibility, it's a draw, you can do an extra round. I was like, let's go, man, I'm game. You know what I mean? I'm cool, I'm going to go out on my shield, man. So I'm just pretty disappointed. I'm pretty disappointed in my performance. I'm better than that, you know, I'm so much better than that. But I'm happy I come out with a W. And it's just a learning curve, going to learn from this. So yeah, happy days.
Were you disappointed? You're disappointed. You just wanted it to end faster.
No, I'm just disappointed in my ability. Like, I'm much better than that. Like, I still have not shown my full potential, you know, and it sucks. But it is what it is. I got the win. We can watch the fight back. We're gonna learn a lot from this. I'm so happy I got the fight out of the way. My debut here, and I've banged out six rounds. Like, you know, nothing's broken. A little bit swollen, but nothing major. So I'm happy about that. I got a lot to take from this fight. I'm just happy I got some rounds in.
When we talked at the press conference, you thought this fight, this type of combat sport, was going to be perfect for you. What did you think about it? How did it all play out?
Played out pretty well. Getting punched with no gloves and punching somebody with no gloves ain't really much different to punching with an MMA glove or a boxing glove. Once you're in the fight, you're in the fight, honestly. I think you hit me with a couple shots that hurt me, but other than that, there was nothing really that I was worried about. I just really couldn't get into my groove, and that's what I'm annoyed about. But we got the W, man.
Just the support that you had in the crowd. A lot of people there were supporting you. We saw the England flags out there flying for you. What did that mean to you?
Yeah, it meant so much to me, man. Like, the crowd here was phenomenal. I got a lot of friends and family, and not family, but like friends and, you know, really good friends here. You know, a bunch of fans and around the world. My support's been phenomenal. So I'm happy I got the W for everyone and myself and my team. It's just a learning curve, and we've got a lot to learn from this.
I don't, you know, expect you to know when you'll be back, but like, how, I mean, as far as future's concerned with this sport, do you like your future in the sport, and as far as going back to the lab and even staying back out there?
100%. I like this. I want to be coming back here. I ain't got no really bad injuries other than a few stitches in my face, so a couple of weeks, all superficial. I'm good to go, man. Like, I'm sweet. Just, I'm happy I got some, I'm got that ring rust out, I got some rounds in, I got hit in the face, like, I took some damage, I had to keep fighting. I'm just happy I got a fight, you know, and it wasn't, I think, quick, but at the end of the day, I got the W, and again, I'm just going to learn from this. So.
And you made history.
It was fun.
Congratulations, Jake. It was a great performance by you. It was a fun show tonight.
I'm glad everyone had fun. I hope everyone enjoyed it, man. So thank you.
Congratulations.
Yes.
So congratulations to him. Looking forward to watching him back in the squared circle. And finally, Luis Palomino, Jim Ehlers, grudge match. These guys have been doing a great fight lead up for this. Good promotion between the both of them. And Luis Palomino took it to him. You know, this was, he talked about being slick and outboxing him and outskilling him. And, he really got on Jim quick and put him away, put him down once. And Jim was slow to get up. And then ended up shortly thereafter finishing the job and the fight was ended. So he retains the lightweight championship. He gets the diamond belt from the what the hell is that thing called? There's this dude who walks around. He's got like these police belts. It's like the police academy bare knuckle. I don't know the exact name of it, but it looks like an old style, like Jack Johnson style belt. It's very cool looking. And so he got like it's basically like BKFC has their own belt, and this guy goes and gives the belt. They're kind of like, you know, like their own sanctioning body for bare knuckle, you know, almost like Ring Magazine, if you will. So it was cool. Shout out to Luis Palomino. He got the hometown win. Fun atmosphere. It was cool being in a venue with fans. I got to be honest with you. I think the three fighters I mentioned, probably the three most popular fighters on the card. And, you know, it was cool. Luis Brinson was there. I saw Luis Brinson ringside. I saw Yoel Romero. Frank Mir was there. I think Frank Mir signed up with BKFC. Look, it was a fun night. It was a fun night, and I'm becoming more sold on this bare knuckle thing. I think it's got a niche. I think that it's finding its way with the right athletes to get. You know, they are going to still go for their big signings like they got Paige VanZant. I still think they could use a guy like Shannon Briggs to headline one of their cards one night. I think that would be a ton of fun. But it definitely feels like this sport is finally starting to find its way. And I had a lot of fun. That's our show for this week, everybody. If you miss any of it, download the podcast. We got all the episodes. Got the chance to talk to Andre Ward this week. We did talk to him about, Terrence Crawford, but we also talked to him a lot of other stuff too. He had some awesome stuff on the lightweight division. He had some great stuff on the Canelo Alvarez free agency. And I think the best stuff from Andre, if you haven't heard the interview, is he goes in on Deontay Wilder. I mean, he does not pull any punches, pun intended, with Deontay Wilder and the excuses that he's making. So I highly recommend checking that out. You guys can see the interview at theticketmiami.com. You can look up us on YouTube, see it there, and any social media platform, you'll be able to find it. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time. Oh,
oh, oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Auto Parts. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.